Welcome to East Hills Alliance Church. We are everyday people following Jesus every day.
Questions for you. Now that we're all jealous and a little hungry, we need to talk about some things. Tabby, I think many of us agree with you. Just nope. Okay. Were you? I'd heard that you guys only had like 3 hours on your entire trip where you did not eat. And according to that video, that was about right.
Wayne, will you tell us about the 3.5 hours of famine?
it was rough. So they served breakfast from 6:30 to 10. And then from 10 to noon, nothing.
Nothing. No food from 10 to noon. It's like church. No food from 10 to noon. Terrible.
But from noon to 2... You could eat lunch, and then there's a half-hour famine until 2:30, at which point they served you a snack, which you can make paninis, or there was other things.
Okay, it's almost lunchtime. We're getting hungry.
And then there was cake and fruit. Cake and fruit. And then there's a half-hour until supper, which they served from like 6:30 until 10.
How many times was... You didn't have to eat the whole time.
But you
Wayne
could.
Chose to. Right.
And if it looked like we always had ice cream, that's because we always had ice cream.
Right. So what is the... On a scale of 1 to 10, octopus is a...
0.
It really wasn't too bad.
Okay.
It's a 5.
It's a 5?
I'm happy to be able to say that I tried it.
Okay. Excellent.
I won't try it again.
You will not try it again. Tamara, can you talk into that for just a second? I'm not sure we're hearing you.
Is it not talking?
I just want to make sure that we hear all the voices. There you go.
It should be Matt's mic. Is it working?
Is it working? Mm-hmm. I'm talking. I can hear me.
All right. Dramatic pause. Because, and there's, we need, all I have heard is something about Tamara and a shark bite. So I feel like we need to hear this story, but I want to make sure you can hear it from Tamara, but we may
Maybe
have to share.
Borrow Wayne's mic,
we,
I think.
We'll share mics.
I don't remember it.
Okay.
I don't recall.
Okay. No, it just knocked you out. Okay.
Somebody else knows
Did
this
you,
story.
Jesse may have to share Tamara's shark bite story then. I don't really know.
Well, I think as we were eating the shark.
Oh, you were eating shark, not the other way around. That is an important detail.
She said, okay. This is our shark bite.
I gotcha.
And I thought that was funny.
That's, I gotcha.
We bit the shark instead of the shark biting us.
Right. Okay.
I was going to keep it a secret that I'd had shark.
Okay.
Sorry. Because I didn't want to ever have to answer what shark was like.
Chicken.
Don't tell anybody that she had shark.
Yeah, just don't. It's not like we're live streaming on the internet or anything. It's fine. Wherever Tamara's kids are, you did not hear that. Okay. You guys actually went to do a lot of really good work, much of which we did see some up there. There's a lot that we can't show because we can't put faces on a video. But I would love to hear from you guys about the work that you did, working with kids, helping lead worship, sitting and listening, hearing stories. Wayne, you're holding a microphone right next to me. You want to go first?
I absolutely do, because that way I get to say the things and they don't get to say what I said. No, I thought it was really cool to be able to lead worship. I don't know if you guys know this, but we can gather at least once a week together and worship God in English, like our native tongue. And these international workers gather once a year. Ish to worship with other believers in English. Like, they're all serving in their situations and they're going to churches and they know the languages that they're worshiping in, but it's not their first language. So just to hear how excited some of them were, even some of the kids, to be able to hang out together and spend these times worshiping together in English with the other international workers. So that was really cool. And I think they don't have a lot of teams that bring a drummer because most people aren't going to pack their drums and take them on an airplane, but I'm a little bit crazy.
Yep.
So it was really cool to be able to have Jesse lead and to be able to play drums and just lead worship for these people who you could tell really, really enjoyed and appreciated what we were there to do for the worship.
Wayne packed a bunch of his clothes in with the drums to protect them. And so the first day when the drums were still packed, he didn't have some of his clothes.
Sacrifices.
I made do.
Your turn.
go first then.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I see. man, those kids were a blessing. It was a good time. I think we went with our plan, and we did follow that plan. They loved the craft supplies. They loved the journals, but it was really like an open time for them, and we saw them be able to just have a listening ear and how powerful that was to them, to that we would just listen. We were just there to listen. And one of the little girls in particular, she was 7. She's like, okay, in my journal, she's like, I want you to write this down. and she would have me write these stories of her life and her stuffed animals and her pets and what it is like where she serves and the animals and the food she has to eat there. And then she would draw or paint a picture and we put it in there. But what a treasure, you know, that she's going to have throughout her life to look back and hold to those stories and see God's goodness in her life and the things that have happened. So that was really just a pleasure to be there with them. And they were very excited to sing in English. So especially the older girls, they were like, we get to worship in English? And I was like, yes, we do. So, and then Jesse gave him a hard time and said, actually, we decided that we were going to learn Croatian and sing in Croatian for you. And they're all like, what?
Nobody laughed at that.
Nobody laughed.
Too soon. Too soon.
It was not funny.
This is probably answering one of your later questions, but that same little girl, so Tabby was pulled out the journal later that day, and she was like, look, look, Tamara, look, she's processing. Because that was one of our goals was, this was to help them process some of their losses. TCKs often have said so many more goodbyes than the average college student has. So, and they're, you know, little. So, and when you're doing it all the time and it's not a bad move, so like, do you cry about it? It's just, it can get stuffed. So we wanted to give them a chance to like, not just process who they left, but process like learning the new culture or switching again or anyways. So this little girl, her stories, her animals were sometimes having these life changes. And it made me want to cry when Tabby showed me. And then she would dictate to Tabby and then she would paint with me, but then she would want to sit down and like cuddle up and like, okay, let's read it. And it was pretty cool to watch that happen. So yeah.
That's great.
That's cool. I think for me, it was a little bit helpful once we got there to understand who's actually there, because in going, we didn't really understand exactly who we were going to serve. We knew it was international workers from the European region. But once we were there, I started to realize how they invited people. And so it was the Balkan region and Bosnia who were partnered with, but also some teams from Kosovo. And then a couple other countries were invited as well. But then their directors were also there. So the Alliance has 4 branches of Alliance missions. And one of the branches is called Access, and that's the church planting arm of Alliance Missions, basically your what you think of when you think of missions. And so the director of Access for all of Europe was there. And then we have a branch called CAMA, which is the humanitarian arm, and the director for CAMA for Europe and the Middle East was there as well. And so it was these teams, and then the people that they report to were there. And so that's just kind of some context of who came to this conference and who we went to serve.
Yeah, that's great. People from, we don't have opportunities like that very often to serve people from such a wide number of cultures. And yes, it's their sort of second culture, third culture, whatever, but like it's, that's really, really cool.
So we got to see our Bosnia partners, of course, and then meet a bunch of other workers that we've never met before. So
good.
It was super cool.
Yeah, to get to encourage and serve and all those things. So as you engaged with people, you're doing the ministry you plan to do, trying to be open to what God is doing in whatever ways. What did you see God do through in the people you went to serve? And maybe this is getting at the story you just told too, but what other stories did, what did you see God doing in the people you served?
I go first every time.
Okay, I'm thinking on the fly now. this is, again, not exactly the question you're going to answer.
That's totally fine. I would never
box you in. It was something that just
camera.
Got, when they were just talking about, I actually was really encouraged listening to the workers. So obviously God was doing stuff in their lives, mm-hmm. But man, there were some awesome people there. Yeah. So just sitting at the mealtime and just listening to them processing, you know, sometimes they're processing their last year. It's a long tables. And so I might be sitting there with like people from one team here and another team here. And so the crosstalk is they're comparing culture issues or things that they're struggling with or things that are going well. And so just like watching watching the collaboration, watching the honoring of each other was beautiful. You would think that you would have this like elbowing in and trying to like one up yourself. And it was just beautiful. Like that was fantastic to watch. And then also watching some of the themes coming up, like as different workers from different countries would be describing, like one theme we saw a lot was that there's starting to be collaboration between the different denominations of the churches in those countries. And that is exciting. Like they're getting together and praying. That's their starting ground. So, I mean, that gives me goosebumps. Like, just that was really cool to watch. And then to hear it, like, as different people were describing this beginning to collaborate concept, but it was looking different. Like, in one country, it's they're meeting together to pray. And somewhere else, I think it was, like, they were asking advice of the other denomination. I was a little jet lagged too, so the details are leaving me. But the overwhelming walk away was like, okay, God, you're definitely doing something, and you see these like pictures in these different places, but it's all, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how many states that would cover. It's not that much land mass. So
yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
That's so great.
So
yeah, it's good.
Am I just going to be the honorary second now?
Sure.
I think in listening to the workers and their stories in what's going on in our world and our climate right now, which is ever so fastly changing, as it always is, I see a lot of the workers in this season of transition and this season of trying to figure out things. We have teenage girls who are getting ready to graduate, in a few years. And that's the thing about the workers, too, that I notice. They don't talk the now, they talk 4 years down the road because this is their life. Like, they're in this for the long run. So everything was always a couple years ahead what they're talking about. But there's a lot of transitioning going on. There's a lot of workers who are getting older and new people are coming in and they're having to welcome them, trying to figure all these things out, how they're going to manage things where when people are on home assignment. Like, we have Bosnia. I think there's going to be one worker there for quite a while all by herself. That's a big change to not have that team there with her. And what I saw God using this time for was a sense of not just renewal and rest, but I saw the workers inviting God into their transition and asking him to be there with them and to walk with them and to guide them. And that is such a... It makes me tear up. It's such a powerful thing. One of our songs was Come Rest on Us. We've sang it here before. And just hearing them sing that, and that's just the attitude. God, come rest on us. Come guide us through these changes because the world is moving so fast and there's so many things out of our control, but we just want what you want.
Yeah.
And I felt like this conference was a really good time for them to renew that strength, to renew that focus, and it was really encouraging to
that's
watch.
So good. Yeah, all those stories that seem so far away to us are not that far away for them. Yeah.
I could piggyback on that a little bit because I thought it was neat to just see that this conference for them was a little bit of rest, maybe a lot of rest, but also like a lot of business, a lot of work. So they were there to be poured into and get to worship and be, there was a speaker that gave some sermons and that sort of thing. And so they could just sort of rest in God's presence. But also, they were there with the people they report to, the directors above them, and so they had meetings with them in the afternoons. And like Tabby talked about, many of them are considering the projects that they're running and wondering, should we keep those going? How successful are they? Should we start this new project? One of the workers was headed back to start a CrossFit gym in the area where he serves. And that week he was planning to buy a bunch of equipment. And he was talking about how he had never overseen a budget that big before. And so you can, some of you that have started businesses know how stressful it is to start a business. And he's basically starting a business and wondering, how's this going to work? And he's starting it in another country and all of this. So just fascinating things as you kind of see what's on their shoulders and what they're thinking about, but also trying to help them take some time to just rest and breathe a little bit. So.
Yeah, the gentleman starting CrossFit gym is one of those guys that it's just
really cool without at all trying to be cool.
Hand down too far.
Where'd my hand? Where's it supposed to go?
Did
I cover
good.
That part?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Sorry. I don't know how electronics work. But just the coolest guy. One of my, I got to play Domes Worship and hang out with the kids. And I just really enjoyed like the kids having a chance to be kids. Cause they have to be a missionary's kid all the time where their parents are serving and working. It's not their culture. So just us being able to provide that space for them to be kids for the week, to just worry about having fun. We spent time in the playground. They did a slideshow at the end, and there was a picture of me. I just won a race against an 11-year-old. So I'm pretty proud of myself. And there was some really...
I got that picture, so I'm proud
thank
of
you.
Myself.
Yeah, but here's the thing. There was
pride going
there was
here.
Pictures of like me and the kids playing on the playground, and the person that put together the slideshow chose the one that's just me, grown man on the playground, flexing. Just so that's what they know of what happened with the kids was Wayne was on the playground by himself. But just to sit with these kids, we played games with them, we hung out, and I... because I wasn't there the whole time, I got to be the guy that came in, and if there was a kid that wasn't really enjoying whatever he was doing, I would sit and play games or ask questions and listen and run to the playground. So that was just really cool to give these kids 4 or 5 days to be kids, to relax, to not have to worry about being missionary kids in another culture, but just to get away and be themselves for a bit. Mm,
that's so good. Yeah.
Do it. Don't hold it too low, though. It's
oh, right up here. And the playground, I don't know why we needed a playground, because the youngest literally thought Wayne was a playground. So he'd walk in the room like halfway through our session and she's like, mm-hmm. So it was Wayne.
That's what it looks and sounds like downstairs when Wayne teaches too. It's just, that works. I mean, whatever gets you heard, man. Man, those are awesome stories of what God was able to do through them taking some time to intentionally, it sounds like they're doing business stuff, but to essentially stop the constant, hey, we're on display, because again, that's part of it for those kids, right, is that they are on display all the time and needing to be mindful of that. For them to be able to just come and be with some teammates and some people who understand their experience and be served by you guys, that's so good. So in that environment where God is doing stuff in them, we also know that as you guys intentionally take some time and some space and you get out of your culture and your environment, that also leaves space in a different kind of way for God to do some work in you. And so you're not the designated second person. Tabby, we'll start with you. What did God do in you guys?
This is a big trip for me.
Yeah.
This is a big trip. I was away from my husband for 10 days. That was hard. I think going over there, I saw humanity at its finest. I saw humans. I went over there with this expectation in my head of these like gung-ho missionaries that could withstand anything. You know, they don't show any emotion. They just keep going. And humanity hit me very quickly. Yeah. And I was like, that's right. They're humans. They're not robots.
Yeah.
And that hit hard. And one night in particular, I, as a human, felt I had made a mistake. And I was very hard on myself. I thought I did not handle a situation the best. And I'm just crying, and I'm hurting, and I'm tired. And this wonderful team comes. Mike is like, you better message them. They all come running. And they're like, we're coming. We're coming to pray for you. And they're all there. And Wayne gets out his guitar and we sing worship. And in that time, I felt God spoke to me something new to focus on. And it's this, that he does not require perfection, that he requires a willingness.
Mm-hmm.
And in my life, that is hard. Because I want to present myself as perfect. I want to have the right reactions. I want to say the right things. I want to even have the right emotions and reactions to things. But that is not what God requires for us to serve. He just requires us to be willing to do what he asks with an open heart. And so I felt like God really showed that to me through the workers. But he's also stirring that up in me and something new to focus on in this journey.
Amen. So. For those of you who are note takers, you might want to write that one down. All right. Yeah.
I could share. I was a little bit nervous to lead worship for these workers. I was a bit intimidated by them because I respect them so much, and they're all excellent leaders in the work that they do. And so I was a little bit intimidated, a little bit insecure. But mostly, as I've reflected on it, I think I also just felt like, I don't know what you need. I don't know you. I don't know what you're carrying. And I so desperately want to lead worship in a way that like serves you, that really feeds their souls. And I'm like, all I have is guesses that they're probably tired. They're probably, you know, stressed. I don't know. And so I found myself kind of asking God, Lord, you have to tell me what to do because I have nothing of my own to give them. I can't help them with something, which is just a good place to be in ministry anyway, is to be depending on Jesus. But I got to experience again and kind of learn again that we don't need to manufacture something of ourselves or work to minister to people in our own strength. What we do is we go to Jesus and we drink deeply of the well that is Jesus, and we let him overflow us. And whatever he gives us, that's what we give to others. And so I was grateful that each time we got up to lead worship, I had something, a scripture or a thought or something that I felt like God gave me. And often it was something that I needed to hear, and it was kind of like, maybe I should just share this with everybody. And so it felt like God gave me things to give to them, and I just trust that those were things that he was using in their lives. So. Yeah, just got to learn again. We don't have to do anything in our own strength. We come to Jesus. We just give people what he's given us.
Yeah, amen.
Do you want to go third?
Is that number three? Just kidding. Sure. Am I holding?
Yeah,
there we go. I really enjoyed seeing God just take care of the details.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there were so many just tiny little things that I was like, oh, God, you had that planned. We did not know where we were going to be working with the kids. So we might have been just like in the hotel lobby. I mean, that was an option. Sure. And we would have needed to like put all of the craft stuff away every time and pull it all out and probably haul all the stuff that's drying to our room. And when we got there, there had been a mix-up with somebody else's room, and so they'd had to switch that room. So they had an extra room, which ended up being like a little tiny suite. So it was a door in the middle so it could separate like siblings that needed a break from each other. And we had big giant windows. And if you're crafting and working with, which we had artists, our older girls were like downright unbelievable artists. So they need daylight to, you can't like do color mixing without daylight. So we had these big windows that God had worked out, and it was across the hallway from my room. So first thing in the morning, I would sneak across the hallway in my pajamas and go set things up for the day, like so simple, and come back. And there was something else on that too, just that it was, oh, they loved the crafting, yeah. But it was just like all of these tiny little details that he had done in advance. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like, oh, thanks, God. Like, this is like little, and it wasn't just for me. Like, I could see these details that were for each of them. Like, Tabby was reminding me to say, like, they loved the craft stuff, and they really, really did. Like, The oldest girls, their mom pulled me aside the first day, and they're like, she goes, they're just gushing over all of these things. So it was like things like that where I didn't know that they couldn't get washi tape, but I happened to order way more hot washi tape than I have ever ordered in my life. And I was like, okay, God, I think you're saying yes to this. Well, because they couldn't get washi tape and they'd been looking for it. And it was just like, oh, God, you had their little tiny wishes in mind when you made our craft list. And so that was just... like most of the conference is these big arching, God's doing these big things, but then to see like all the little things mattered to him too.
Yeah.
That was just so cool. Really fun.
Yeah. A good reminder that the God who takes care of details in Croatia takes care of them here too. Yeah.
I'll go fourth. That's okay.
Oh, that's so nice of you. Yeah. Thank you for volunteering. Yeah.
I think I have three things. They're all quick. The first thing is that God's grace is enough for what he's called us to. There were jet lag. It beat me a lot. I slept eventually. But like in all that, like the times I needed to be awake and hitting things, circles, not kids, hitting circles with sticks or hanging out with kids, I didn't hit any kids.
Just flexed at them.
It wasn't at them. It was at the camera. After I beat them in a race.
Okay,
but great. like through that, God gave grace and mercy for what we were there to do. And the second thing is that, we can be doing things that we feel God has called us to and that we enjoy, and those things can still be hard. Like, this was a wonderful trip. It was amazing. And there were hard days and hard nights. Like I got to play drums for worship and hang out with kids and talk about Jesus. And like, I love doing those things. Mm-hmm. And it was exhausting and it was hard and it was complicated. And lastly, just the importance of leaving room for conversation. So Jesse also jet lagged pretty hard. So when you're awake at 3 a.m. and you've already watched your half hour of Law and Order with Croatian subtitles and English audio, it's a great time to have a conversation. And I just think we get so busy that we don't leave room for conversation. So I was inspired to maybe try and have more room for conversation, not at Smith, but if you're up, give me a call.
Maybe at a different time.
Yeah, different time of day.
Yeah.
But to slow down enough.
We'll schedule.
There was a church mom who heard y'all's stories and was like, you know, if they weren't watching TV, maybe they would fall asleep faster. And I thought that was an excellent point.
We were awake for 2 hours before we started. We tried. I promise.
I believe you. No, that's so good. Which, by the way, for those of you... who have never had the experience of jet lag, it hits everybody differently. For those of you who have never gotten to experience mission trip tired, that is a different level of tired. But man, the joys that come with it. So worth it. So you guys have touched on briefly just as the workers that you got to interact with are collaborating as they're talking about what's going on, the problems that they're running into, the solutions that they're finding, the creativity of things like starting a CrossFit gym, trying to find different ways to reach into the community. What insights did you gain? What are you coming back with as far as what God is doing around the world through Alliance Missions, through the folks you interacted with? What are you coming back with? Man, God is doing stuff.
Well, maybe I'll jump in because I've been dying to answer this question. I didn't get to work with the kids that much because I stayed in with the workers for their reports. So as I mentioned, the different countries that were there and the two directors that were there, each of them took time giving reports about what was going on in their ministries and what God was doing in their areas. And so I got to hear from Kosovo and Bosnia and a couple other countries, and then of course all of Europe, and then some from Middle East and Europe. And so I was impacted so much by some of those stories. And what I want to tell you guys is that the work that Alliance workers are doing is really good quality, and it's serious. So when you give to the Great Commission Fund, that money is not like used lightly. There are literally life and death things being done with that money. And with the heart of just church planting and sharing the gospel completely through and through the main focus of it. And so that money is not wasted. It is used in some incredible ways. And so a couple of stories I want to share with you. I was mostly impacted getting to hear about what's happening in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. there are pastors there, and the church there is just growing. One of the workers had gotten to go visit recently, and he talked about how some of these churches, there's just standing room only. And he said that the pastors there all seem to have somebody kind of apprenticing under them and following them around. Mm-hmm. And so they're doing a great job of training up new leaders. And he said they're actually planting churches there at the speed of funding and manpower. So if they have a leader ready to go, and if they have the funding, they plant a church. They're just ready to go because the church is growing so much. He also talked about how the churches are handing out humanitarian aid. Some of that comes from the Alliance. And the youth in the churches are being trained to share the gospel and to pray with people and things. And so people come to the churches and they get the boxes that they're handing out, and the youth sit with them and share the gospel and talk with people. And I just thought that is so incredible to hear. So there are some awesome things going on there. There was a chaplain in the army or in the military that is going around the front lines talking to soldiers. And he was telling our worker, our Alliance worker, that if I had some camp chairs, the soldiers would sit and talk with me for hours. And so that worker was like, well, let's get you some camp chairs. Mm-hmm. And if I understood correctly, the Alliance actually bought him a Jeep and some camp chairs. And so he can go around to the front lines and talk with these soldiers. And so it's just some incredible work going on there. You can be praying. Obviously, there's a lot of trouble and it's dangerous. But I think through all of that, the thing that really impacted me was that this worker was saying that he wants to move there. If he could, he'd like to move there. And I just thought that's pretty awesome to think. You know, we talk about having a missionary mindset. And that's it, is to go, where I see God working, that's where I want to be. And I think that's good for us to think that way, too. If where in your life do you see God working, mm-hmm. that's where we want to be. Even if it's maybe not the most comfortable thing for us to just have that heart of, like, I want to be where God's working. And I just saw him saying that and was just kind of blown away. Like, you want to go there? And without batting an eye, he's like, that's where I want to go. And I think that's quite inspiring to us.
Yeah, so good.
I noticed that the work the Alliance workers are doing is very relational, very. I mean, there's people who have been where they are for, some of them, 20 plus years. And one of the Alliance workers told me, she's like, yeah, I'm going on home assignment soon, but these next 2 months are going to be packed. Everyone wants to say goodbye to me. She's like, and it's not just a one-time goodbye. They want to have 3 coffee sessions to tell me goodbye. We call it a long goodbye. And I said, well, that's just such a testament to who you are, that these people want to come and spend time with you and make sure that they get the time and they get to say goodbye before you come back to the United States for home assignment. And so that's a pattern that you see across all of the Alliance workers, that I've noticed that the work they're doing is very intentional. Mm-hmm. They're coming up with new ideas, like a fitness center, anything to try to build relationships. And I think that's so practical in our lives too. How can we build relationships with the people around us? Because that is, in most simplest terms, what they are doing. Mm-hmm. They're looking around and asking, what is a need? How can I build relationships with these people? How can I earn their trust? And they're doing just that. Mm-hmm. And that was really encouraging to me, and just really cool to see how faithful God has been, but how faithful they have been to this process, because it's not a one-time and done thing. It's a very long, strenuous type of ministry. Yeah. So,
yeah, that's so good. And as we talk about missionary mindset, like, part of what we're talking about is how do we individually look at relationships, not as a project, but look at relationships as something. Hey, God, what are you doing here? What like, can I join you in what you're doing in this person's life, and that we don't leave that aside. Yeah.
Even those starting businesses, you know, the CrossFit gym, for example, I mean, the heart behind it is just relationships, that this is a thing that people are interested in. We can have a coffee shop. People will come and hang out. I'll get to spend time with them. They're talking about the employees that they're going to have to hire and how they'll get to work with those employees. Just, you know,
People will come in consistently, because they're coming to work out, right?
For the first 3 weeks of January.
Smart.
So what if we thought about that heart behind the things we do, the work we do, the businesses we start or run, that it's like, how can I reach people with the gospel through this?
So good.
One more thing on the fitness center.
one of the things that he was talking about in that country is that vulnerability is very, very difficult for the people to step into. And so that is why they chose a fitness center, because he's like, you cannot enter into an exercise program focusing on your health without stepping into a level of vulnerability. So it's this like hand-holding, helping them into this process of, you have to like be a little bit introspective. You have to actually make observations about yourself, make decisions on what changes you want. Like, so it was just like, as I'm listening to this guy, I'm like, man, you guys thought this through.
Yeah.
Like, you
every piece is intentional. Like,
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's so good. Yeah. What else are you guys seeing? What God is doing through these folks?
I think they've mentioned it a little bit, but I really enjoyed seeing that there are workers that have been there for, we celebrated one of our Bosnian workers 21 years in Bosnia, and there's some that have been there longer. And then there was a young lady who's been with Alliance Missions in the field for 10 months, and our fitness friends who have been there under 2 years, still learning language, doing this. So seeing the people that have been there for the long haul, and that we still have people that are starting ministries and continuing the work that God is doing there.
So, so good.
We had some conversation as a team about how there are some organizations that really excel in the short-term kind of thing, sending people quickly overseas. Mm-hmm. The Alliance is like the opposite. It takes a lot of years and training to get to where God's sending you. But I think it pays off, because then those workers often stay for a really long time. And that's the Alliance goal, I guess, is long-term. And I think we do a good job with that.
Mm-hmm. I think one more thing about the workers, because you didn't say it, I wasn't going to steal your
line. Okay, yeah.
But Jesse, we were all talking one night, and Jesse's like, they smell like Jesus. They do.
Yes,
like,
they
just
do.
Everything they do. Like, the look in their eyes, the way they handle conflict, the way they address you and approach you, like, they just smell like Jesus, and I want to be like that, is what Jesse said. And I'm like, I do too.
I
want to smell like Jesus. So, smell like Jesus.
Okay.
And I think that comes from enduring hardship.
Yes.
And whenever we face something difficult in our lives, we kind of have this choice. Like, will I go through it and let it shape me to be more like Jesus? So that I come out looking like these workers at the end of 25 years of hard work? Or will I just give into the easy route of, like, I'll get all gossipy, or, you know, those types of things that are just, we're so prone to that. But we actually have these opportunities to be like, Jesus will shape me through this. And if I am faithful for years and years, I'll, at the end of it, I'll look like him.
Yeah. So good. Yeah. So maybe our next business opportunity is soaps. Smell like Jesus. Sorry, that was terrible. We actually, over the next year, in September and in February, they mentioned some of our Bosnia partners coming on home assignment. So in September and February, we're going to, assuming things go according to plan, we are going to get to host them and hear from them. I love the Alliance. Again, we need the opportunities for people to be sent over quickly and to do short-term bursts and to sprint through some things. That's also great. I love that the Alliance is looking at long-term. One of the goals that the Alliance has right now is it over 2 years, they want to launch 5,200? No, they want to average a missionary week, right? Over two years? Is that right?
100 workers in... I forget what the length of the goal is, but we're like halfway there or something.
Yeah, so about halfway there, a little over a year. So they're hoping to essentially average one a week, 100 over 2 years. And
there
go for it.
There are more opportunities to serve than we have, or we have more people ready to go than we have funding to send them.
Yes.
And so when Jesus said, pray for the workers, for the harvest is few, we've been praying for workers, we have workers ready to go, but there's not enough funding to send them, so...
So as you give to the Great Commission Fund, as you check that box on your envelope or that box on our online giving, that's what it's going to. It is going to send people, and it is not just a firework of a launch. This is going into training and sending and supporting them for long-term work. It is investing in them as they invest in the places God has called them to be. So I'm just grateful for the work the Alliance is doing around the world. I'm grateful for the work these folks are doing that you guys got to go serve. I'm grateful for you guys and that you guys would go and serve them. Thank you to all of you who helped send them so that they could be a blessing to those who are being a blessing in places that most of us will never get to go and certainly not be able to build relationships over time. If you're feeling called to give, there's an option for that. If you are feeling called to go, please don't just sit on that. Invite somebody you trust in to pray through that with you. If you're feeling called to explore options for, man, maybe God's calling me short-term, long-term, whatever, bring in a whole bunch of wise people, pray through that. Please don't just sit on that and see what God may do with that.
Yeah. Can I say one more thing? I wanted to also let you know, was mentioned, we got to meet with our partners, the workers in Bosnia, and I just wanted to report to you guys that our relationship with them as a church is strong. I mean, they were excited to be there and pick us up at the airport and take us out for ice cream, and it was just good to be with them, and it seemed like they just genuinely liked having people from East Hills there. And so your guys' support over the years has meant a lot to them. And I think it's our partnership with them is strong. So that's good. And so thank you for sending us and the craft supplies and everything that you bought. Yeah. We got to send so much of that with them. They loved it.
And pretty much all of it.
Good, yeah. Yeah. We didn't bring any home, did we?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And then just as Tabby mentioned, go ahead.
I brought my cutter home.
Well, that's fair. That's fair.
I guess the suitcases weigh something. Like 80 pounds of craft and candy.
Yes.
And high quality.
Yeah, good stuff.
Like,
yeah.
We're thrilled.
Yeah, that's cool. Awesome. That's so good.
And then just to be praying for our Bosnia partners, as Tabby mentioned, a bunch of them are coming back to the States for some time. And so for like the next year or so, only one worker is going to be there. And so we can just be praying for her as she thinks about how to spend her time, because she can't do everything that they've been doing, that the whole team has been doing. So she has to make some decisions about what God's calling her to do and how to continue the projects that they have going and what to let go. And they also had asked us to pray for more workers. The Bosnia team actually has openings for more workers to go and be part of their team. And so they're praying that God would send more workers to fill out that team.
Yeah, awesome. I want to pray in that direction. You guys do me a favor and give these guys a round of applause just for sharing and for going. Thank you guys so very much. And as the worship team comes up and we transition into responding to God over all that he has done, would you pray with me? Father God, we are grateful for the work that you did in this team, through this team, as they went. We are so grateful for the things that you are doing in that region right now. The ways that you are raising up local leaders. This is not a colonial thing. This is a people from the States and often from other Alliance churches around the world. Africa is sending missionaries into Europe. South America is sending them. God, I'm amazed at how many different things you do and how many different languages introduce people to your love and your grace. And as people go in and they learn the language and they are raising up local leaders, Father, we do pray that that you would continue to raise up workers, you would raise them up from all over the world, that you would send them to the places that you are calling them to go. And God, I pray that you would also raise up workers here for the ministries and things you're calling people to in the States. God, that you would lay the burden on our hearts to see our relationships, to see the opportunities around us, to see the resources that we have, to be able to bless our community and to love the people nearest to us, that we would be your missionary sent into Cowlitz County. God, it is amazing to me what you will do when we are intentional, when we are open, when we are willing When we aren't focused on being perfect, but we are just focused on being willing to do whatever you call us to do, to be transformed by you, to be called by you, to be empowered by you, to serve in your name and love the people around us. And so we give ourselves, our church, our resources, our community to you. And we ask that you would work through us to be a blessing that only you can be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for checking out our podcast. You can learn more or connect with us online at easthills.org.